Welcome to Supernatural Scotland, the podcast. I'm your host, Mark Smith. Recently, I could not believe my eyes when I added a video I made to YouTube, and it's had almost 2,000 views. It was an old horror film I made over a decade ago with some friends. I entered a local film festival with it and was given very negative feedback, and it actually put me off for a long time. But the other week I found it and I thought, you know, this isn't that bad. So I put it on YouTube and it's had some positive comments and, yeah, of almost 2,000 views. Might not sound like a lot to some people. I know there are people that get views in the millions, but it was nice to get that kind of views. It's still slowly going up, so fingers crossed it will go a little bit higher. But it's given me the bug again, so I'm thinking about a couple of little short horror films again just shortly. So just a reminder that I am on TikTok and Facebook as well, so please follow these, and your continued support is much appreciated. I've been trying to make the podcast accessible on every streamer possible, and I think I've finally got it on most of the streamers, certainly the big ones. For all my continued listeners, thank you again for your support. I really do appreciate anyone sharing the podcast with friends and family and colleagues to try and boost the listens further. Now on to our first location of the day, the Isle of Iona. Some say it is the birthplace of Christianity in Scotland. St. Columba and his companions travelled here from Ireland in 563 AD. They built a monastery on the island, and from here the Christian beliefs spread over Scotland. They say the island is haunted by ancient kings of Scotland, as this was a burial island for the kings for a long time. The early kings of Alba traced their origins to Iona, so the kings of Alba chose to be buried here. Around 48 Scottish kings were buried here, so there are plenty of kings to haunt it. And surprise, surprise, it has lots of myths involving those pesky fairies again. One story talks about two men fishing who are enticed into a fairy mount to dance. One man escapes with an iron fish hook and a year later comes back to save his trapped companion, who is still dancing with the fairy folk. Another story talks about a hunchback having his hump removed with the aid of the fairies. After wandering up a hill, he lay on the ground looking at the stars with sadness in his heart about the way he looked. He heard a story song coming from the ground, and he finished the song for the fairy, who rewarded him by removing the hump. So there you go, fairies are not always mean or pranksters, they can be kind at times as well. But it's safe to say you should not take the mick with a fairy. A young man had a fairy lover. A blacksmith made him a steel arrow so he could not be harmed while carrying it. But he was invited to a wedding and changed his clothes. He went to a ridge to hunt before the wedding. He never made the wedding because he left his lucky arrow and his other set of clothes, and his fairy lover murdered him. The most haunted place on the island is Martyrs Bay Beach. In 806 AD, 68 monks were murdered in cold blood by the ruthless Viking raiders when they refused to flee the holy grounds. During these time periods, the Vikings attacked a lot of different lands, and it did not matter to them if the people could fight back or not. The island had been attacked a few times before, but it was not until 806 AD that the worst occurred. Fleets of Vikings stormed the abbey and stole everything they could while killing defenceless monks. Areas like this were hard to defend from Vikings, since they were on small islands and the Vikings were very much aware of this. The survivors left the island and moved to the Abbey of Kells in Ireland. Included in the 68 deaths were the abbot and 15 other senior clergymen. The area is said to be haunted by Vikings and monks alike after this brutal and bloody incident. You can visit the island by ferry, so keep an eye out for the ferries. Perhaps take something iron with you as protection. Also keep an eye out for the Vikings and the poor monks. Our second location is Pollock House. This grand house completed building in 1752. It has received extensions since then. It was signed over to the City of Glasgow in 1966 by Dame Anne Maxwell MacDonald. Her family had owned the estate for nearly 700 years. This is one of the many estates managed by the National Trust for Scotland. The house has many artefacts within its walls, and it is well worth visiting to see them all. As with any grand house, it has a large garden area, and it's claimed to have over 1,000 species of rhododendrons. During World War I, it also served as an auxiliary hospital to many wounded soldiers, and I'm sure it has seen plenty of death during this period. It had around 16 beds located between the music room and the dining room. The Maxwell family even moved out of the house to allow for more patients. Pollock House is most famous for the witches of Pollock House. Lord George Maxwell believed himself to be a man of God and took his mission to hunt witches very seriously. He spent much time away from the family home, tracking down witches to burn at the stake. In 1676, Maxwell returned from another witch trial, where someone was burned to death. Be they guilty or not, who knows? Lord Maxwell then fell ill. He described this as being stabbed in the side. Recently, a mute and deaf girl called Janet Douglas had started employment at Pollock House. Janet was a hard-working girl and was not suspected of anything due to being deaf and mute. Janet began to speak, and to everyone's surprise named the witches responsible of making Lord Maxwell ill. She claimed they had used evil spells to make him very ill and causing him a lot of pain. Was this revenge for his hunting of other witches? Janet said, "You shall find the dark relic in the house of this witch." Lord Maxwell's men searched the house and did indeed find a wax figurine hidden behind a painting by the fireplace. Janet named further witches, and they had to stand trial accused of witchcraft. These people then went through horrendous tests and tortures. These were to force them to confess to devil worship and witchcraft. The trials took place in 1677, and they were strangled and burned. A young girl called Annabel survived, but her mother was burned alive. Annabel was sent to a convent. Lord Maxwell died anyway, not long after the others lost their lives. Janet Douglas vanished from Pollock House. Some say she travelled to other lands hunting witches. Or was she the real witch, having made a fool of Lord Maxwell and had innocents killed? I guess we will never know the true story of Janet Douglas. It is said the witches still wander the grounds of Pollock House, searching for Janet Douglas. And now for our creature feature. Our first creature is the Beast of Buchan. Stories of this beast have been around since the 1700s. Written records of the beast date back as far as the 1930s. Thousands of people have claimed to see the big cat, and some have described it as a large black cat, while others have described it as a green cat which looks like a panther. The beast often preys on livestock like sheep. The attacks had happened so often that it was discussed at the Scottish Parliament. It rarely attacks humans, however, it does happen. One woman claimed to be bitten and clawed at by the creature while leaving a stable. Her friend witnessed the attack. A farmer found part of a carcass which he believed was caused by the beast. Yes, you might say, so what? It's a big cat and it's escaped. But how come the tale goes back hundreds of years and some claim the cat is green? The other question is, how has it managed to avoid capture? Keep an eye out while walking the countryside near Buchan. Our second creature is probably the most famous creature of Scottish folklore, Nessie. Yes, I've been avoiding the most obvious, but decided, what the hell, let's go for it. The Loch Ness Monster is from Loch Ness, the largest loch in the whole of Scotland. The loch holds more water than England and Wales combined. Many have tried to find Nessie, and this has continued very recently with the best technology to try and track her down. Nessie is described often as a large, long-necked dinosaur. Lots of sightings have occurred and sonar readings which have suggested something large is under the depths of Loch Ness. Loch Ness is 23 miles long. The southern end connects to Loch Oich by the River Oich, and the northern end connects to Loch Duckfoor by the River Ness, which leads to the North Sea via Moray Firth. There are theories these are all connected by underground tunnels, and Nessie can even reach the sea but returns home to Loch Ness. By surface area, it is the second largest loch, the largest being Loch Lomond. However, Loch Ness is very deep and by volume is the largest in Britain. At one point, it is 230 metres deep. The loch is that big, it has 9 villages around it. There is even a Loch Ness Centre to visit, which I recommend. Records of a monster go back as far as 565 AD. An Irish monk recorded a local being buried near the River Ness. It was explained the man was swimming in the river when he was attacked by a water beast which mauled him and pulled him underneath the water. A record in the 1800s by D. Mackenzie reported to see a large object like an upturned boat wriggling and churning up the water, moving slowly before speeding up and disappearing under the water. Another record from the 1800s is from Alexander MacDonald, who seen a large, stubby-legged animal surface from the loch and coming near shore. He described it to look like a salamander. There were many sightings in the 1900s, and one was by Arthur Grant in 1934. He was a motorcyclist. At about 1 a.m. while driving, he almost hit a creature which crossed the road by the loch. By the time he had dismounted and tried to follow the large creature, he could only see ripples in the water. Not surprisingly, others did not believe him and thought he had seen a mere otter. In the 2000s, there have been a few ripples in the water recorded on video, and creatures from a distance disappearing into the deep waters. Is Nessie real? Is there a family of these creatures alive and well who travel between lochs and rivers and the sea? When you visit Loch Ness, which is a beautiful place, keep an eye on a loch and look out for ripples, as you never know what is hiding under the surface. And that is the end of this week's podcast. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.